Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Friday morning. A little cool out there, Mike, but the sun's shining and not supposed to have any rain for a couple of days, so that's all positive.
Well, I put my warm-up on, a little warm-up, pullover.
Right.
But when I got to the station, I had a nice surprise. I got a Batavia High School pullover from somebody in Batavia that had been talking to Dan Issel because Issel's got so much nice stuff. I love it, man. It's blue, too. It's blue.
Yeah. That's Jim Roberts. Jim Roberts coached at Batavia, basketball coach at Batavia, for a number of years. He actually, when he was a youngster, attended the Rupp Issel Pratt basketball camp. My high school coach would send some of the boys from Batavia down here to attend the camp. And then Jim was very successful coaching for a long time, and he's retired now from coaching and teaching. But he is still a huge booster of the basketball program, and he has a golf tournament every summer and brings as many former players back as possible. And we all lie and tell how good we were. But it's a fun event and raises a lot of money. He raises money so the basketball team is able to take trips and go to different tournaments. And so it's a fun weekend. And I told him that we were doing this show together. And of course, the first thing he says is, well, you tell Pratt to come up here and play in our golf tournament. I'll send him a shirt, and you get him up here.
Yeah, he invited me. I had a very nice invitation. And I got this really neat pullover. It's blue. It's Kentucky blue, pretty close to Kentucky blue. But that's great. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to drop him a line. That was a good start to my day. It was a late night last night, and I'm going to get into it. And I know you want to talk some Preakness, but we have also, we've got the wonderful process behind the mic today with his hood on. I mean, he's got his gangster look on today.
Here's the deal. It's haircut day, and the woman that cuts my hair says no hats, no product. So I was like, okay, we'll throw the hood on today.
Well, it's a good look.
Thank you. I mean, look, I tie one on last night. I railed a heater. I smelled like smoke, so I had to take a shower late, and then I went to bed and looked ridiculous. So, hood it is.
I got to get a haircut Monday. I got to see my guy Monday and get a haircut myself. So, it was ice cold beer and cigars last night, huh?
Yes, it was.
Ooh, what kind of beer was?
That's an IPA.
Did you go out to the track?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't smoke at the track because I don't like, look, dry cleaning is expensive. So when I smoke in a suit, I don't want to pay $40 to get the smell out. So, no.
So you put a suit on to go to the track, man?
I at least put a blazer on. Shorts and t-shirts,
you know.
I at least put a blazer on. I like to dress nice. You don't understand. I dress like trash when I come to work as I'm rolling out of bed. But when I have time to, you know, shower and, you know, put my contacts in and put something in my hair, you know, I dress like I care a little bit.
Right. Like you're on the cover of GQ, huh?
You obviously don't care this morning.
No, I don't. I was like, man, I woke up at 5 and I'm like, man, I really don't care right now.
Well, outside of process, he's probably our best guest. No, not our best, but he's one of the top of the line guests for us today. And we've traded him for Crean straight up for
today.
Do
you know where Crean is?
No, I have no idea.
Do you know?
Yeah, he graduated last year, but due to COVID, he did not have a commencement. So now he has a commencement.
He's in Bloomington. Yeah, we talked about this on Wednesday after the show, which I think is very cool. He's going to Bloomington. He's going to walk across the stage with his robe and his mortarboard on. And so good for him.
Absolutely.
I think that's terrific.
I missed that. Had to go back and had like three courses I had to pick up and went back. And so I forgot all about walking across. So, that is cool.
Yeah, I think I missed that part too.
I saw my daughter and saw my stepdaughter graduate. So, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got some great guests today, Dan.
Yeah. Who are they?
It's Friday, right? It's Friday. We got to get some more coffee in here. It's Friday.
I know who they are. I'm really excited about talking to Ms. Tarp, not only because of her volleyball exploits, but what she's studying at UK and what she plans to do after volleyball's over. So that'll be a nice talk.
Lauren Tharp at 10:30. At 11:05, Brooks Downing of GD Global. Ed Brooks, former SID at Kentucky. You know Brooks.
Yep.
Started out on his own, built this company. He's done very, very well. A lot of things to talk to him about because he promotes the multi-team events, MTEs. He's done it for Kentucky. He's done it for other colleges. He's involved heavily with, I think it's the Mountain West and the Pac-12 tournaments in Las Vegas, conference tournaments. He's also involved in promoting golf tournaments. I think he's got one in the Bahamas, which I never get an invitation for. But well, I'm going to lean on him this afternoon.
Okay.
And then about 11:35, we got John Clay to talk about all the things that Process and Diener talked about today. Bad-mouthing Calipari.
For the recruiting.
Yes, bad-mouthing Satterfield. I mean, these guys, you wore them out this morning.
I don't bad-mouth the Don, okay? I love the Don. He's great. John the Don Calipari. He's the man. Satterfield is a different story. He is not the Don, so yes, I will trash him.
But, you all understand how this works. Cal doesn't go out and make the first introduction.
Nah, he's the closer.
Exactly.
I know that.
Okay. Well Diener how come Diener doesn't know it?
I don't know. Look, I keep my head on a swivel.
Well, if you continue to wear that hoodie, you should keep it on a swivel.
This is fair.
So we've got John Clay, the Lexington Herald leader, and he covers the Cats, and we can talk football and basketball. Obviously, the coaching change in basketball is a big deal, but football just finished their spring practice, and we had Vince Morrow on earlier.
And I went back and read some of the stuff about Antigua. And what I didn't realize is while he was running the recruiting process and Cal was closing the recruiting process, they won the national championship in 12. And I think they went to how many Final Fours besides
13 was scratch 13, but 14 and 15.
Yeah. So that's exciting that he's back on board. And what I understand is Chin was the lead guy from Illinois on the Ty Washington recruitment. So maybe.
So you think we got a shot?
Well, I think we're in the top two. I really do. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I didn't realize how the programs March in the NCAA tournament had kind of fallen off since Orlando left. I didn't realize that, but man, it's pretty stark numbers.
Yeah, you're right. And, a great team, a great development team, a great recruiting team. Kenny Payne, Orlando, Antigua, two guys that you want. If you could get those caliber fellas on your staff, Dan, you're going to have a lot of success.
Yeah.
And they did. From recruiting those guys to developing those guys, they had some great success. And I think at this point, and we'll talk to John Clay about it, we'll ask him a couple questions about it. I think this is what Big Blue Nation, as we call them, needed, a shot in the arm. I think Process, even Process would agree. Don John, he calls it John the Don.
John the Don Calipari.
There you go. This was a shot in the arm. I don't care how it turns out. We don't know. We can't predict.
No.
But, boy, what a shot in the arm.
But the critics talking about Cal, the critics said, well, when he recruited, you know, when Kentucky recruited all these great players and we're going to Final Fours, he was the one doing the recruiting. And now that it's fallen off a little bit, it was the assistant coaches who were doing the recruiting. But I think one thing that's important to realize is sometimes you have to look, well, maybe all the time, you have to look at things that aren't present that you don't see on the basketball court. You know, how culture, how
the buzzword,
how the players are going to fit in the locker room. And I think the last few years, that might be something that Cal's been a little disappointed in. Not the basketball players that Kentucky has been recruiting, but the character of the players that Kentucky's been recruiting.
But I think the year that was cut short by COVID, to your point, I liked that team. I liked the character of that team. The culture seemed to be where he wanted. And it was cut short. I thought that team at the end of the year really had a chance to go deep in the tournament. And who knows, once you get to the Elite Eight,
right,
you know, anything can happen.
But, and you know, Mike, you're around the program much more than I am, and so you would know this better than I. But when you watched last year's team play, and maybe it was because they didn't have all of the practice time that they needed, and they didn't, get to clobber Utah Valley State. They had to play. They had to play really good teams coming out of the box. But that team last year, to me, it looked like throughout the whole season, they looked like a bunch of guys that had never played together before. There was certainly no consistency in their play, no teamwork in their play. So sometimes you have to recruit good people as well as good basketball players.
No question. And then the other piece of it, and I think this Kenny Payne was so good at this, and so was – and this is – I'm not throwing shade on anybody who was up there. I think Joel Justice was a heck of a recruiter, recruited some really good players. Tony Barbee did also, and he was kind of a sounding board for Calipari because they had been together so long. But I think, unlike when we played, you just went home, went to class after practice. The only time you ever saw the coaches basically is when you got in trouble or had practice.
Got called on the carpet.
But now there's so much more to this as far as a relationship situation and communicating. And also in talking to friends of mine who are still in coaching, a lot of things revolve around the parents of the players calling. The head coach doesn't want to deal with that. The head coach has got enough issues with the press and the fan base, raising money, you name it, okay, and coaching. So the assistants have to deal a large portion of the time with the family. So they call and they talk to the assistants. And I know Orlando and Kenny, when they were there, they had great relationship with the families. And put out some fires. I mean, I'm talking to some guys who are coaches now, and they go, look, if the assistant can't put out whatever fire happens, I got problems.
Yeah. Well, it's like we were talking yesterday. You know, it's the good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, you know,
Cal wears them out in practice, and then after practice is over, Cal goes to his office and, you know, the assistant coaches put their arms around players and say, hey, it's going to be all right. As you were talking about that, something struck me very funny. Can you imagine if your dad or my dad had called Coach Rupp or Harry Lancaster?
Said I was unhappy, right?
The response would have been, come and get him.
That's cold, but you're right. So last night, you and I both are big baseball fans. And last night, Coach Keith Madison, former baseball coach that developed this baseball program we have now. Great guy.
Great guy.
Had us up. I had my stepdaughter, her husband, who had played at Evansville, was a pitcher, very good player, and my one grandson, who plays 12-year-old, who plays baseball, and he's a catcher of all things. But we all went up to the baseball game, and Coach Madison did a terrific job of hosting us. Had terrific seats, okay, just terrific seats. Just had a ball, and Kentucky comes and wins the game in the ninth inning. I mean,
and it was a big win for Kentucky. They needed to win that game.
Yeah, and you win the first one of a three-game series against the number 9 or 10 team in the country. You got a little hop to your step tonight when they play again. And Nick Mangione's team, we were down right by the dugout. And, man, these guys were, I mean, the whole game, they were into the game. They were into what was going on. And when guys would go up and strike out in a key moment, the Collette kid went up and he really was, you know, he was 0-for-4, but he hit the ball really well. And he's their home run guy.
Yeah.
And so he strikes out with some guys on base, and he comes back to the dugout, and those guys are you know, patting him on the back, hitting him on the head, and trying to keep his spirits up. So it was a thrill last night, Dan. And you've got to do that and go up there and see a game sometime, because this ballpark is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, I told
you. Oh, you took a tour.
I've been there. Yeah. Had to pay for my tickets, which – kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
I guarantee you that did.
I know you didn't pay for your tickets last night.
No, I said I was hosted by Coach Keith Madison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was hosted
by Coach
Keith.
Well, whatever you do, don't tell him that your grandson is a prospect, or you'll be buying tickets too.
Yeah. Well, you had that luxury. You know, you had that luxury.
Yeah, but it is a beautiful ballpark. It really is.
And it was a good night at the start, but man, it got
a little chilly.
It got chilly. It spit a little bit. Didn't rain hard, but it spit. And it made it even colder. You know, I think the temperature got down to maybe 60 at that point, but which is not real cold, but with that rain coming down. And man, I tell you what, it's we've seen it for a long time, but those metal bats, aluminum bats, I guess they are.
Yeah.
Those bats, that I still can't get my brain around that. I'm so used to wood, and of course the bigs still play with wood, and we grew up with wood, right?
Yeah,
you crack
absolutely.
A bat, and you take a little nail, and you put it in, you put it back
it
together,
and tape it up.
Yeah, but the metal bats, that's an interesting. Kentucky had a bunt, a really nice bunt to move people around. And I'm going to tell you what, that ball jumped off that bat on the bunt. I think it's got to be really tough to bunt the ball.
With an aluminum bat.
Yeah. It was but we had a great evening. And Coach,
Late night.
And so I'm going to shut up now and let you talk. I know you go to bed early. And it was about 11:30 by the time we got back. But, man, I'll tell you what, that was a happy car. Everybody in that car. So, and the ending was so, because Florida had tied it up.
Kentucky, in the top of the ninth?
Yeah. Kentucky had, it was really the top of the eighth. But Kentucky goes ahead and gets the W. Man, I tell you what, everybody was happy in that ballpark. Yeah, it was a good time.
The one thing about baseball that I wanted to talk to you about, and, you know, we certainly don't know both sides of the story, but I was really sad yesterday to see Albert Pujols wind up on the waiver wire. I mean, here's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I know things didn't work out in L.A. Like everybody hoped they would. I think a lot of people have blamed his salary the last 3 or 4 years on the Angels not being able to go out and get more help for Mike Trout, more pitching maybe. But to me, and maybe it's just because he still wants to play. He still thinks he can play. He's 41 years old, 10th year of a 10-year contract. And you know, it didn't work out well. I mean, he was an unbelievable player in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And he only made one All-Star team the 10 years that he was in L.A. But, you know, you sign a guy when he's 31 years old, you sign a guy to a 10-year contract, you got to know that it's going to fall off at some point.
The percentages tell you
But and maybe the Angels didn't have any choice because, like I said, he still thinks he can play. But a first ballot Hall of Famer, you'd like to see him, his career end, if it's going to end, on a more positive note than winding up on the waiver wire.
It, which we were talking earlier, that just tells me that he's going to play someplace else. He's not going to walk off. I really believe so.
I don't. I mean, obviously, he can't play in the National League because they don't have the DH the National League. So it has to be someplace in the American League. And of course, everybody is talking about the White Sox because, you know, he was with La Russa in St. Louis for all those years. But I don't know. You know, you look at he can't play in the field anymore. I don't know if he plays. If he plays someplace else or not. That, you know, when I retired, that was always a concern of mine. I didn't want to be out there on the floor when I couldn't play anymore. And maybe I could have played another year or two, maybe not. But I was always very conscious of not wanting to be out there and kind of tarnish my career when I couldn't play. And so you know, I wish they would have had a big celebration. They would have said, you know, this is a first ballot Hall of Famer. We were really happy to have him on our team, and let him walk off into the sunset rather than wind up basically being cut.
Well, I think that tells you a little bit as far as maybe his relationship with the front office.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It got a little shaky. But I tell you what. 10 years, $250 million. I might go to the house, buy a horse farm, let you bring your horses out to me, and we'll try to bring them and train them and all those kind of good things.
I guess some people just don't have that. You know, they think they can still play. They want to still play, but he's 41 years old.
And the thing is, he has nothing left to accomplish. He's won the MVPs. He's won the World Series. He's got 500, 600 home runs. He's got 3,000 hits. He's done everything you can do.
Yeah. We were talking about Willie Mays yesterday. He and Mays are about the same number of home runs, aren't they?
Right. Willie Mays is 660,
and
Albert Pujols is 667.
Would that not be about the same thing?
No, I'd say. You said they're about the same thing, aren't they? And I said yes. I was confirming what you were saying, Dan.
Oh,
damn it!
Oh, okay.
I'm all confirming
right.
it.
Wait a minute. Thank you. You took your hood off too. All right.
It was getting hot in here.
That's the first time I've heard the. Damn it, Dan, in a while. I mean, every now and then we heard it in Lexington, you know.
Good luck. I mean, look, Coach Rupp was a great, great coach. If I'm going to be compared to him, I'm cool with it.
There you go. I can't see him with a hood on.
That's also, he strikes me as a kind of guy that you don't wear a hat indoors. He strikes me as that kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely.
This is, you'll love this story process. We were, I guess it was about our junior year, maybe. And it was early December, and, you know, it was cold, obviously. And they were afraid of having colds through the team, the flu. Okay, they got all excited about that. So Adolph comes to practice one day, and he says, you guys need to get hats. Y'all need to get hats. So we go, okay. So we all went out. Most of the guys on the team went out and bought different hats. That's when they had the Big Apple cowboy hat. I mean, we had guys get on the planes with a – including us with a coat and tie and a beanie, and because we had to have hat. I don't think Adolph even realized we had hats on. I'm not sure. I've got some pictures someplace with that.
But we did what he said.
Absolutely. He was a happy camper. So they didn't have hoods then. So
they didn't?
Not hoods on sweatshirts, I don't think.
Huh. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Man, if only I was, you know, that age, I could have made that innovation, man. I would have been a gazillionaire.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, last night at the ball game, when the temperature dropped some, but then the rain came in, you know, the spitting, the sprinkling. There's hoods up all over the place in the rain, all over the place. So is it raining in here? No?
It is not currently, no.
Okay.
Maybe at some point. I don't know.
Well, big weekend, and I know your mom's not with us. My mom's not either.
No.
And Sherry is a mom, and Marcia's a mom, and it's a big, big weekend for moms, and gives you a chance, in our case, to think about your mom.
Yeah.
And have great remembrances and talk about her. And it's a big day on Sunday. And the Louisville Slugger Bat people are making pink bats for players in the big leagues.
Cool.
And there's two guys they mentioned in the article I read, Will Smith, who I think he was at Louisville Country Day, played at U of L with the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers.
Yeah,
yep.
Very, very good catcher. Yep. Not quite as good as my man Steve Yeager, but he's close.
Yep.
Then Kyle Schwarber, who played at IU, who was a Cubby.
Absolutely.
And now he's with the Nationals?
Yeah.
With
the Nationals. He, the Cubs didn't pick up his option. He had that terrible injury.
I did.
And missed most of the season when the year the Cubs win the World Series. But he comes back, and in the playoffs, he bats like 400 and had a great series. And then it was kind of downhill from then. They didn't pick up his option last year, and he signed with the Nationals. And I don't know. I haven't followed. I don't know what kind of year he's having.
I haven't either. I just was reading about the pink bats. And kudos to Louisville Slugger for doing that.
Yeah.
And kudos to these guys that will be wearing pink in some form or fashion, mm-hmm. or swinging the pink bat.
Yeah.
And the proceeds, or part of the proceeds from the bats, Dan, the sale of the bats goes to breast cancer.
Yeah.
And that's all pretty cool.
Absolutely. It's cool. You know, I never miss a holiday for Sherry, because about 3 or 4 days before the holiday, I get a text from my son, Scott, and he says, "What's your address?" So I know he's bought something that he's sending to Sherry. So I got that text on Monday or Tuesday. I thought, oh, Mother's Day is coming up.
Hello. Hello.
You almost were in a bad way, man.
He was tight. Real close,
you
wasn't
were close,
he?
Man.
To what?
Being in a bad way. You forget Mother's Day, you die.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you what. But I read about that, and I thought that was really, really cool having had cancer myself and knowing a lot of people. Bobby V is fighting with a form of it, and we know a lot of people that have had breast cancer that able to do these things in a sporting event is pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of players, I think, will be wearing pink shoes. There'll be a lot of pink in the MLB lineups on Sunday.
The other thing before we go to break, and we've got our guest, Lauren Tharp, is the Hornets. I'm watching this morning some replays from the Hornets, the Charlotte Hornets. And, of course, I was involved with the original Hornets. Mm-hmm. And they had the throwback uniforms that were designed by who's the guy? He's out of Chapel Hill. He designed these uniforms for us. He was a famous designer back then. And they had the pinstripes. You got the pinstripes on the on the green,
yeah.
And they had the pinstripes. Everybody made fun of them when they put the uniforms out before they even played the game. Said these are our uniforms.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
No, they were awful.
it was a pretty color of teal though. That's
oh
for sure.
Yeah, beautiful.
And had the pinstripes. I look up this morning and they're wearing those uniforms.
Same
uniforms.
Again. Yeah. Well, yeah. Got a chance to sell some more. That's for sure.
Isn't that
speaking about the NBA? Did you see our man Anthony Davis leaves the game with an injury? What he played healthy for about a week and now he's hurt again. But the Lakers,
they're in trouble.
Are now tied with Portland for that seventh spot. And after LeBron's comment about the play-in, there would be nothing better than to have the Lakers in the play-in game.
Well, it's been written that some of Brooklyn's problems are that they haven't had the time to develop that continuity with their big three. When you look at the Lakers, LeBron's been out, AD's been out. I mean, they haven't either. And both teams, Lakers more than Brooklyn, are really struggling. And Brooklyn is better off, I believe, record-wise, but they got the same issues.
They could wind up in the third spot in the East.
Brooklyn, yeah. And if it's really funny that they go out of their way to build this team the way they did, and now they can't keep it together.
Yeah.
I mean, that is
seven games this year. That's how many games those three players have played
at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Seven games out of 72 total, but they probably played 65 or 68.
Yeah,
there's not many games left.
Seven.
How many games did you and David Thompson play together?
A few more than seven.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because that was the big two out in Denver. You know,
I missed 24 games in my 15-year career. Never missed two consecutive games. And, you know, sometimes I played when I shouldn't have. But it was always my feeling, you know, if I sat out, you know, I was hurting my teammates. And if the coach didn't think I could play, then it was his job to set me on the bench. But, I mean, now guys miss – well, Anthony missed 2 months with a strained calf. 2 months with a strained calf.
So. And the checks keep coming.
Absolutely, okay. They do. Absolutely.
Well, let's take a break. We will come back with Lauren Tharp of the UK women's volleyball team, national champs, Louisville lady. We're going to have her on as soon as I give process her number to call and we come out of break.
Well, it's a marvelous night. You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
How about that sweet bumper music? Or it's called a walk-up. I found that out last night.
Walk-up music.
Yeah. They did it for both teams up there in Lexington.
Really?
Yeah. Like guys get to select their music, kind of like we do here. You get to select country and Western. And I support you in that, but I try to bring in some Motown to add to
and
that.
And some Eagles.
Oh, God. Love me some Eagles. I've seen them three times in my life. So, but we process. We have a young lady from Louisville, Kentucky, Lauren Tharp. Lauren, welcome in.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
National championship team, the women's volleyball, and you not only were a national champion with Kentucky, you were in high school at Mercy, were you not?
Yes, I was. My freshman year, we won a state and national championship with Mercy.
And you won something with your volleyball group, MAVA, here in Louisville. Yes. You won a championship. You're a championship lady, man.
Yes, it's pretty nice.
Well, explain the experience of being in a bubble in Omaha. And, I mean, you really dominated that tournament. I think you only lost one set, didn't you?
We lost two sets.
Two sets?
But compared to everyone else, that was pretty good. But, yeah, being in the bubble, it was an interesting time for sure. Our coach always said, you know, this is the hardest year to win a championship. So whoever wins this year is, you know, going to definitely be the best team, because between – you know, COVID going around and teams having to quarantine and then being in the bubble and, you know, you're in a room by yourself for half the day. It's mentally, it's challenging. It was definitely challenging, but it was a good experience. And I think everybody on our team bought in during times when we were quarantined by ourselves. You know, people were journaling or doing little workouts in their room just to keep themselves like mentally ready, just because you did have a lot of downtime while you were in the bubble in Omaha.
And of course, winning the national championship, you have piked up the interest in volleyball around the entire state. I think this is probably not the only championship Kentucky's going to win. It looks like Coach Skinner's building a great program down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was awesome, too, just to hear the amount of people who watched our game and people who, you know, don't normally watch women's volleyball. And they were like, you know what? You guys are so fun to watch. This is so exciting. I'm like, yeah, you guys should watch all the time. Like, you know, we have a good team. And not only that, but, I mean, the championship itself, that volleyball was probably the highest level, you know, highest level game I've played in, because both teams were just, you know, athletic and everything else. So it was awesome. But yeah, Craig is definitely building an awesome program at UK. We are getting the best recruits, you know, and even this year it showed, like, we had depth to our team. So, you know, if somebody had to go down because of COVID or an injury, somebody else was right there to step in and do a great job too. So he's great about having a lot of depth on our team.
Now I believe that because of COVID, all NCAA athletes can have an extra year. Have you tried to talk Madison and Avery into coming back next year and winning the whole thing again?
Right. Yeah, we do get an extra year. I think it has been decided that all of the seniors from this past year are not going to return. As much as we would like them to, I think they just have future plans, you know, to start their jobs. Or I think Avery is, she announced that she's going to Baylor to pursue her master's degree. So, and I think she is going to play at Baylor this year, which is awesome. And I'm excited for her. But yeah, we tried to convince them, but they, you know,
well,
have jobs to start.
Well, Lauren, we all got excited during that run that you guys had, and you got a lot of new fans. We had Coach Skinner on and had Stumbler on, and now we have you. But I've got to tell you a little story. Dan and I both have granddaughters. His is in Denver, and mine is in Charlotte. His is playing volleyball now.
She actually went a couple of years ago. She went to the UK volleyball camp.
Okay.
Yeah, from Denver.
Okay.
And now I have one in the sixth grade in Charlotte that all of a sudden wants to play volleyball. And she when they went to the beach a year or two ago, she went out and played on the beach with the guys and the gals. And she's told her mom, I'm walking into the studio this morning. Her mom calls and says, you know, Ginevra wants to play volleyball. She's a lacrosse player. She wants to play volleyball. She's come to me and she wants to go to a camp. So, you know, this volleyball that you guys have excited everybody with is quite a phenomenon.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. Another thing, like you were saying, I mean, little girls, they watch us on TV, and then if we can inspire them to play the sport and grow the sport, that's awesome. If, you know, we're just getting interest in people and they watch us and they're like, oh, we want to be like them, like that is so awesome to know. And it's, you know, great that we can inspire people to start playing the sport because it is so fun and it's so competitive. Yeah, it's awesome that we can spread it like that.
Now, when we had Allie on, she told us she started playing when she was like 4 years old. How early did you take up the game?
Oh my gosh, I was not 4 years old when I started. That's crazy. I was probably about 8 years old when I started, so still pretty young, but yeah.
Well, that means that my 11-year-old granddaughter's got a shot then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we had a girl on our team last year, Caitlin Cooper. She didn't start volleyball until she was like a junior in high school, and she picked it up. So that was pretty interesting.
Now, we've read a lot about all of the girls on the team, and it was so fun to follow you all and watch you. But you're doing something special with your education and your life. And I think when you graduate, you want to work with special needs children. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my major is special education. I definitely want to work with individuals with special needs. It's just something that I have a passion for. I think my big goal, my big dream would be to start another school in Louisville for individuals with special needs. Definitely. It's just, yeah, something that I enjoy. I have a passion for it. This semester, I was in the classroom a lot working with individuals with special needs, and it's just something that makes me happy. So, yeah.
Well, most or a lot of students and a lot of athletes did their work on the computer versus going to class, but you actually still attended a lot of classes that you in your major.
Yeah, I think I had about 4 in-person classes, plus I was going out to a middle school in Lexington to observe and kind of teach a little bit. So a lot of my classes were in person, actually.
What are your plans for the summer, Lauren?
This summer I'm home for a little bit right now. I'm doing some lessons with girls, and then I am probably working with an individual with special needs just to kind of mentor him, show him around the community, just be a friend. So hopefully that will be fine this summer. But yeah, I just, anytime that I have downtime from volleyball, I like to volunteer with individuals with special needs, whether it's with Special Olympics or just to get involved in the community with people with special needs. So any way that I can.
Well, after you graduate, now Mike and I know a few people here in Louisville. I think that's an excellent goal to start your own school. After you graduate, we'll help you get that started. How about that?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we got a final question for you. It's a family question, and we'll let you go. I know your time is valuable, but your last name is Tharp. Dan and I had good friends, Jim Tharp and Carrie Tharp. Are they in your tree?
No, they're not, actually.
Wow. Jim was a long time. He was on the scores table at Freedom Hall for years and years. When we came in there and played Notre Dame every year, then when we were with the Colonels, he was there. And his son, Kerry, is a friend of mine. He's in the Carolinas now. Last I talked to him, working with NASCAR. And he grew up out here in Louisville and grew up around the basketball out at Freedom Hall. So I didn't know whether that was somebody in your tree. They're great people. Great people.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because there aren't many Tharps that I've heard of. But no, I am actually not related to them. That is interesting.
Lauren, we really appreciate your time. Congratulations again on the national championship. At 50 years from now, when you're as old as Mike and I, that'll still hold a special place in your heart. So enjoy it. Congratulations. And you might as well win it again next year.
No right, pressure. No right. pressure, Lauren. No pressure.
Might as well. Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Right. It was great. Thank you.
Good to talk to you guys.
Sharp young lady.
You know what? I was just thinking the exact same thing. The composure, and Allie was the exact same way.
Yep.
I mean, they don't sound like college kids. They sound like they've been doing these interviews for 20 years. And really, really nice ladies. And, you know, it is cool that they won that championship because that'll be very special.
Well, as you said, that's something that the rest of their life they'll be associated with.
Yeah.
The national championship, that's a big deal in any sport.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to do that. People don't realize. They think, well, that's, you know, you got talent, that's easy to do. But to bring that talent together is so difficult.
We talked about it before, Mike. Obviously, the basketball team has won 8 championships. But the only other NCAA championships that Kentucky has won, there were 3 years with the rifle team.
That's correct.
It's probably not high on your list when you talk about NCAA championships. Once, I think it was 88, women's cross country, and now the volleyball championship. So outside of basketball, Kentucky has 5 national championship banners.
And football better pick up the pace. We need to get Vince back here and convince Vince that he has to pick up the pace. They need a national championship in football, right?
Hey, when we talked to Vince, he had the best defense in the country, and he had a Heisman candidate at running back. I think Vince believes they're going to win the national championship.
Well, I tell you what, he's always been positive since he's been here.
Yeah.
And he's good for some great quotes. You just hope that somebody doesn't put that up on the bulletin board.
Were you aware that Ms. Skinner Avery was going to play volleyball at Baylor?
I read that.
I missed that. Someplace.
She's from Texas, I believe,
okay,
originally.
Yeah. And so she'll have one more year of eligibility at Baylor while she's working on her master's degree.
She's got a COVID year. Everybody gets a COVID year. I wish. You know what? It cost us a year of our life. I'd like to have a COVID year, start back a year,
well,
over again.
I don't know if, you know, if I think I would take it if I, you know, unless my future was solidified and I knew exactly where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. Why wouldn't you stay? I mean, the 4 greatest years of my life were the 4 years I was in Lexington. Why wouldn't you want to do another year of that?
Well, to your point, and here's what I will offer for your suggestion. These guys are so – guys, but basketball players are so programmed that they're going to go – all going to go to the NBA. They're all going to make a lot of money. They're all going to support their families, which is – not true, but that's what they're told.
No, but okay? It's a great goal, but you have to be realistic. Take a look around and see how many Division I basketball players there are every year, and then see how many jobs there are available in the NBA.
Yep. And football, you could do the same thing. And for these volleyball players, I believe these gals can go to Europe and play. They're supposed to be a strong volleyball league or teams over in Europe, but I don't know outside of beach volleyball where you could make a living playing volleyball in this country right now.
Yeah, see, that's what I would do. If I was a single young lady, I'd go and was good enough to do it. I'd go play somewhere in Europe. How much fun would that be to travel over there and spend a couple of years, make some money? I think that would be a great goal.
The other offering I have for you, Mintz, Davion Mintz.
Yeah.
Transfer from Creighton, grad transfer, played very well, particularly late in the year. I mean, I called him Big Shot Mintz because he would hit a big shot. Fearless, not afraid to take it.
Yep.
Okay? He's been in school 5 years now.
He's 23 years old, okay. I think.
So if you were him, you have to make a decision. Do I want to go back to college for a sixth year?
Yep.
Okay, or do I move on and try to play someplace? I mean, nobody's projecting him right now as an NBA player. Maybe he goes to the G League and spends some time. Fred Van Fleet from Wichita State did that.
Very successful.
Very successful. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, not right off the bat. But do you go back? Do you take a sixth year? I mean, Dan Issel, are you tired of college?
As I just said, My college years were terrific.
But you only had four.
I know, and only got to play for three. But for sure, if I'm looking at going to the G League and riding buses around and staying at Kentucky, I'd stay at Kentucky in a heartbeat. I don't care how many years. I'd stay seven if they'd let me.
Well, baseball players are facing that same situation because once they start, they've got to stay, 3 years?
3 years, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're faced, or they signed right out of high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys that are, they languish in the minor leagues. Now, the question is, would they have been better off to go to college and develop themselves and elevate their game? But so many of them aren't interested, I think, in going to college, the academic piece, so they don't know how much fun it is like you had.
Right.
And they go right to the minors.
Well, that's kind of a different situation there because I think you can develop. I see some of these guys come back from Tommy John surgery when they're, 30 years old, and all of a sudden they're throwing the ball 3 or 4 miles an hour faster than they did before. So I think you can – I think baseball, if you stay in college for 3 years and think you have a chance to go to the majors, but, sometimes you fool yourself and you think you've got a shot and really you don't. So you have to take a realistic view. I would always encourage people to go for it because you don't want to sit at home when you're 50 years old and say, "Man, I wish I would have given that a try. I think I might have made it." So I would always encourage people to go for your dream, and if it doesn't work out, you can always do something else.
You're so right, and that's a great point because last night at the baseball game, at the Kentucky baseball game, Coach Keith Madsen and I were chatting and had my little group with us, and we were talking about, and you, Coach, you can probably appreciate this. He was saying, look, when I look back on it now, my 25, 30 years, whatever it was, he said, I can tell you where I made my mistakes as a young coach. He said, I should have played this guy at third instead of short, mm-hmm. and I didn't.
Yeah.
And he said, I regret that. And I was telling a story that that I went back a couple years ago to Charlotte to visit my family and had lunch with a bunch of former players we had at Charlotte. And I had to own up to them that, look, you know, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. You know, but it's we don't have those memories because we didn't do it.
Yeah.
We have those memories. We second guess ourselves on what we did do.
But I think that's life, Mike. I mean, I can look back at things I surely would have done different when I was.
I wish you would have passed to me more. I wish.
No, that part I don't regret at all, because I, you know, my attitude was I'd rather me be shooting it than you. So that's
you and Adolf had the same thought.
but I think that's life. I mean, when you get to, you know, when you get more maturity and you get up in years, and you can always look back at things you could have done differently, but you know, for the most part, if you work hard and you try to do what's right, things are going to fall in place for you.
And if you're part of the UK women's volleyball team, you will have terrific memories
for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And you got bubble stories. I like when you ask her about the bubble.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that bubble had to make you nuts.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't even go outside. You have to stay in your room, and that would be very difficult.
And I read an article, and I know we have to go to break, but I read an article about the referees who were also in the bubble up in Indianapolis, and how they had to operate. They couldn't leave the hotel, and they would meet in the lobby, keep their spacing, keep their mask on, to get coffee. And that was as far as they could go for a long time.
Well, you know, and that's all over the world. I know a couple of guys that fly for UPS, and they pick them up in a van. They take them to the hotel, and they're like they're in the zoo. They put them in the room, and you can't leave the room. They bring your food to you, knock on the door and run. And so it's just not athletics. It's been a terrible year, and I'm glad we're starting to open things up a little bit. Although I heard Diener talking about this morning, and he's absolutely right. The COVID restrictions make no sense at all. I mean, at the end of the month, we're going to be able to have 75% of movie theaters full, but outdoor venues aren't going to be any different. And you look, I was reading something yesterday, Andrew Cuomo in New York, who has probably kept the lid on things more than any governor in the country. This summer at Saratoga, they're going to have special sections. And if you've been vaccinated, you go into the vaccinated section, and they're going to allow 100% capacity. Because it's a racetrack, it's outdoors, you've been vaccinated. But, some of these people, I think, are getting a little carried away with, you know, keeping the lid on things. And I don't know. I think everybody's tired of this. Everybody's ready for it to be open.
And yesterday, we'll go to a break, and yesterday Coach Dan McDonald said it right. Let's open this thing up,
absolutely.
Right? He absolutely said it right. So coming back out of the break, Mr. Issel, we will have Brooks Downing, former SID at Kentucky, who stepped out, started his own company, GD Global, and he's been very successful, good friend of ours. We're going to talk a little bit about sports in sports marketing with Brooks.
Great.
So we'll be back. This is Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, Louisville, Kentucky, ESPN 680-1057.
Well, it's a marvelous night.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 1057. Now here's Dan and Mike.
How about that sweet bumper music? Or it's called a walk-up. I found that out last night.
Walk-up music.
Yeah. They did it for both teams up there in Lexington.
Really?
Yeah. Like, guys get to select their music. Kind of like we do here. You get to select country and Western, and I support you in that, but I try to bring in some Motown to add to
and
that.
And some Eagles.
Oh, God. Love me some Eagles. I've seen them three times in my life, so. But we we have a young lady from Louisville, Kentucky, Lauren Tharp. Lauren, welcome in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
National championship team, the women's volleyball. And you not only were a national champion with Kentucky, you were in high school at Mercy, were you not?
Yes, I was. My freshman year, we won a state and national championship with Mercy.
And you won something with your volleyball group, MAVA, here in Louisville. Yes. You won a championship. You're a championship lady, man.
Yes, it's pretty nice.
Well, explain the experience of being in a bubble in Omaha. And, I mean, you really dominated that tournament. I think you only lost one set, didn't you?
We lost two sets.
Two sets?
But compared to everyone else, that was pretty good. But, yeah, being in the bubble, it was an interesting time for sure. Our coach always said, you know, this is the hardest year to win a championship. So whoever wins this year is, you know, going to definitely be the best team, because between, you know, COVID going around and teams having to quarantine and then being in the bubble and, you know, you're in a room by yourself for half the day, it's mentally, it's challenging. It was definitely challenging, but it was a good experience. And I think everybody on our team bought in during times when we were quarantined by ourselves. You know, people were journaling or doing little workouts in their room just to keep themselves like mentally ready, just because you did have a lot of downtime while you were in the bubble in Omaha.
And of course, winning the national championship, you have piked up the interest in volleyball around the entire state. I think this is probably not the only championship Kentucky's going to win. It looks like Coach Skinner's building a great program down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was awesome, too, just to hear the amount of people who watched our game and people who, you know, don't normally watch women's volleyball. And they were like, you know what? You guys are so fun to watch. This is so exciting. I'm like, yeah, you guys should watch all the time. Like, you know, we have a good team. And not only that, but, I mean, the championship itself, that volleyball was probably the highest level, you know, highest level game I've played in, because both teams were just, you know, athletic and everything else. So it was awesome. But yeah, Craig is definitely building an awesome program at UK. We are getting the best recruits, you know, and even this year it showed, like, we had depth to our team. So, you know, if somebody had to go down because of COVID or an injury, somebody else was right there to step in and do a great job too. So he's great about having a lot of depth on our team.
Now I believe that because of COVID, all NCAA athletes can have an extra year. Have you tried to talk Madison and Avery into coming back next year and winning the whole thing again?
Right. Yeah, we do get an extra year. I think it has been decided that all of the seniors from this past year are not going to return. As much as we would like them to, I think they just have future plans, you know, to start their jobs. Or I think Avery she announced that she's going to Baylor to pursue her master's degree. So and I think she is going to play at Baylor this year, which is awesome. And I'm excited for her. But yeah, we tried to convince them, but they, you know,
well,
have jobs to start.
Well, Lauren, we all got excited during that run that you guys had, and you got a lot of new fans. We had Coach Skinner on and had Stumbler on, and now we have you. But I've got to tell you a little story. Dan and I both have granddaughters. His is in Denver, and mine is in Charlotte. His is playing volleyball now.
She actually went a couple of years ago. She went to the UK volleyball camp.
Okay.
Yeah, from Denver.
Okay.
And now I have one in the sixth grade in Charlotte that all of a sudden wants to play volleyball. And she when they went to the beach a year or two ago, she went out and played on the beach with the guys and the gals. And she's told her mom, I'm walking into the studio this morning. Her mom calls and says, you know, Ginevra wants to play volleyball. She's a lacrosse player. She wants to play volleyball. She's come to me and she wants to go to a camp. So, you know, this volleyball that you guys have excited everybody with is quite a phenomenon.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. Another thing, like you were saying, I mean, little girls, they watch us on TV, and then if we can inspire them to play the sport and grow the sport, that's awesome. If, you know, we're just getting interest in people and they watch us and they're like, oh, we want to be like them, like that is so awesome to know, and it's you know, great that we can inspire people to start playing the sport because it is so fun and it's so competitive. It's awesome that we can spread it like that.
Now, when we had Allie on, she told us she started playing when she was like 4 years old. How early did you take up the game?
Oh, my gosh. I was not 4 years old when I started. That's crazy. I was probably about 8 years old when I started, so still pretty young, but yeah.
Well, that means that my 11-year-old granddaughter's got a shot then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we had a girl on our team last year, Caitlin Cooper. She didn't start volleyball until she was like a junior in high school, and she picked it up. So that was pretty interesting.
Now, we've read a lot about all of the girls on the team, and it was so fun to follow you all and watch you. But you're doing something special with your education and your life. And I think when you graduate, you want to work with special needs children. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my major is special education. I definitely want to work with individuals with special needs. It's just something that I have a passion for. I think my big goal, my big dream would be to start another school in Louisville for individuals with special needs. Definitely. It's just, something that I enjoy. I have a passion for it. This semester, I was in the classroom a lot working with individuals with special needs, and it's just something that makes me happy. So, yeah.
Well, most or a lot of students and a lot of athletes did their work on the computer versus going to class, but you actually still attended a lot of classes that you in your major.
Yeah. I think I had about 4 in-person classes, plus I was going out to a middle school in Lexington to observe and kind of teach a little bit. So a lot of my classes were in person, actually.
What are your plans for the summer, Lauren?
This summer, I'm home for a little bit right now. I'm doing some lessons with girls, and then I am probably working with an individual with special needs just to kind of mentor him, bring him, show him around the community, just be a friend. So hopefully that will be fine this summer. But anytime that I have downtime from volleyball, I like to volunteer with individuals with special needs, whether it's with Special Olympics or just to get involved in the community with people with special needs. So any way that I can.
Well, after you graduate, now Mike and I know a few people here in Louisville. I think that's an excellent goal to start your own school. After you graduate, we'll help you get that started. How about that?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we got a final question for you. It's a family question, and we'll let you go. I know your time is valuable, but your last name is Tharp. Dan and I had good friends, Jim Tharp and Carrie Tharp. Are they in your tree?
No, they're not, actually.
Wow. Jim was a long time. He was on the scores table at Freedom Hall for years and years. When we came in there and played Notre Dame every year, then when we were with the Colonels, he was there. And his son, Kerry, is a friend of mine. He's in the Carolinas now. Last I talked to him, working with NASCAR. And he grew up out here in Louisville and grew up around the basketball out at Freedom Hall. So I didn't know whether that was somebody in your tree. They're great people. Great people.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because there aren't many Tharps that I've heard of. But no, I am actually not related to them. That is interesting.
Lauren, we really appreciate your time. Congratulations again on the national championship. At 50 years from now, when you're as old as Mike and I, that'll still hold a special place in your heart. So enjoy it. Congratulations. And you might as well win it again next year.
No pressure, Lauren. No pressure.
Might as well. Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It was great. Thank you.
Good to talk to you guys.
Sharp young lady.
You know what? I was just thinking the exact same thing. The composure, and Allie was the exact same way.
Yep.
I mean, they don't sound like college kids. They sound like they've been doing these interviews for 20 years. And really, really nice ladies. And, you know, it is cool that they won that championship, because that'll be very special.
Well, as you said, that's something that the rest of their life they'll be associated with.
Yeah.
The national championship, that's a big deal in any sport.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to do that. People don't realize. They think, well, that's, you know, you got talent, that's easy to do. But to bring that talent together,
yeah,
is so difficult.
We talked about it before, Mike. Obviously, the basketball team has won 8 championships. But the only other NCAA championships that Kentucky has won, there were 3 years with the rifle team.
That's which correct.
It's probably not high on your list when you talk about NCAA championships. Once, I think it was 88, women's cross country, and now the volleyball championship. So outside of basketball, Kentucky has 5 national championship banners.
And football better pick up the pace. We need to get Vince back here and convince Vince that he has to pick up the pace. They need a national championship in football, right?
Hey, when we talked to Vince, he had the best defense in the country, and he had a Heisman candidate at running back. I think Vince believes they're going to win the national championship.
Well, I tell you what, he's always been positive since he's been here.
Yeah.
And he's good for some great quotes. You just hope that somebody doesn't put that up on the bulletin board.
I didn't. Were you aware that Ms. Skinner Avery was going to play volleyball at Baylor?
I read that.
I didn't see. Yep. I didn't. I missed that.
Someplace. She's from Texas, I believe,
okay,
originally.
Yeah. And so she'll have one more year of eligibility at Baylor while she's working on her master's degree.
She's got a COVID year. Everybody gets a COVID year. I wish. You know what? It cost us a year of our life. I'd like to have a COVID year, start back a year,
have it over again. I don't know if you know if I think I would take it if I, you know, unless my future was solidified and I knew exactly where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. Why wouldn't you stay? I mean, the 4 greatest years of my life were the 4 years I was in Lexington. Why wouldn't you want to do another year of that?
Well, to your point, and here's what I will offer for your suggestion. These guys are so guys, but basketball players are so programmed that they're going to go, all going to go to the NBA. They're all going to make a lot of money. They're all going to support their families, which is not true, but that's what they're told.
No, but okay? It's a great goal, but you have to be realistic. Take a look around and see how many Division I basketball players there are every year, and then see how many jobs there are available in the NBA.
Yep. And football, you could do the same thing. And for these volleyball players, I believe these gals could go to Europe and play. They're supposed to be a strong volleyball league or teams over in Europe. But I don't know outside of beach volleyball where you could make a living playing volleyball in this country right now.
Yeah, see, that's what I would do. If I was a single young lady, I'd go and was good enough to do it. I'd go play somewhere in Europe. How much fun would that be to travel over there and spend a couple of years, make some money? I think that would be a great goal.
The other offering I have for you, Davion Mintz.
Yeah.
Transfer from Creighton, grad transfer, played very well, particularly late in the year. I mean, I called him Big Shot Mintz because he would hit a big shot. Fearless, not afraid to take it.
Yep.
Okay. He's been in school 5 years now.
He's 23 years old, okay. I think.
So if you were him, you have to make a decision. Do I want to go back to college for a 6th year?
Yep.
Okay. Or do I move on and try to play someplace? I mean, nobody's projecting him right now as an NBA player. Maybe he goes to the G League and spends some time. Fred Van Fleet from Wichita State did
that. Very successful.
Very successful. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, not right off the bat. But do you go back? Do you take a 6th year? I mean, Dan Issel, are you tired of college?
As I just said, my college years were terrific.
But you only had four.
I know, and only got to play for three. But for sure, if I'm looking at going to the G League and riding buses around and staying at Kentucky, I'd stay at Kentucky in a heartbeat. I don't care how many years. I'd stay seven if they'd let me.
Well, baseball players are facing that same situation because once they start, they've got to stay, what, 3 years?
3 years, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're faced, or they signed right out of high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of guys – excuse me, there's a lot of guys that are, they languish in the minor leagues. Now, the question is, would they have been better off to go to college and develop themselves and elevate their game? But so many of them aren't interested, I think, in going to college, the academic piece, so they don't know how much fun it is like you had.
Right.
And they go right to the minors.
Well, I that's kind of a different situation there because I think I think you can develop. I see some of these guys come back from Tommy John surgery when they're 30 years old, and all of a sudden they're throwing the ball 3 or 4 miles an hour faster than they did before. So I think you can. I think baseball, if you stay in college for 3 years and think you have a chance to go to the majors, but sometimes you fool yourself. And you think you've got a shot, and really you don't. So you have to take a realistic view. I would always encourage people to go for it because you don't want to sit at home when you're 50 years old and say, "Man, I wish I would have given that a try. I think I might have made it." So I would always encourage people to go for your dream, and if it doesn't work out, you can always do something else.
You're so right, and that's a great point because last night at the baseball game, at the Kentucky baseball game, Coach Keith Madsen and I were chatting and had my little group with us, and we were talking about, and you, Coach, you can probably appreciate this. He was saying, look, when I look back on it now, my 25, 30 years, whatever it was, he said, I can tell you where I made my mistakes as a young coach. He said, I should have played this guy at third instead of short, mm-hmm. and I didn't.
Yeah.
And he said, I regret that. And I was telling the story that I went back a couple years ago to Charlotte to visit my family and had lunch with a bunch of former players we had at Charlotte. And I had to own up to them that, look, you know, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. You know, but it's we don't have those memories because we didn't do it.
Yeah.
We have those memories. We second guess ourselves on what we did do.
But I think that's life, Mike. I mean, I can look back at things I surely would have done different when I was.
I wish you would have passed to me more. I wish.
No, that part I don't regret at all, because I my attitude was I'd rather me be shooting it than you. So that's
you and Adolph had the same thought.
but I think that's life. I mean, when you get to, when you get more maturity and you get up in years, and you can always look back. Back at things you could have done differently, but for the most part, if you work hard and you try to do what's right, things are going to fall in place for you.
And if you're part of the UK women's volleyball team, you will have terrific memories
for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And you got bubble stories. I like when you ask her about the bubble.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that bubble had to make you nuts.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't even go outside. You have to stay in your room. And, that would be very difficult.
And I read an article, and I know we have to go to break, but I read an article about the referees who were also in the bubble up in Indianapolis and how they had to operate. They couldn't leave the hotel, and they would meet in the lobby, keep their spacing, keep their mask on to get coffee. And that was as far as they could go for a long time.
Well, and that's all over the world. I know a couple of guys that fly for UPS, and they pick them up in a van. They take them to the hotel, and they're like they're in the zoo. They put them in the room, and you can't leave the room. They bring your food to you, knock on the door and run. And so it's just not athletics. It's been a terrible year, and I'm glad we're starting to open things up a little bit. Although I heard Diener talking about this morning, and he's absolutely right. The COVID restrictions make no sense at all. I mean, at the end of the month, we're going to be able to have 75% of movie theaters full, but outdoor venues aren't going to be any different. And you look, I was reading something yesterday, Andrew Cuomo in New York, who has probably kept the lid on things more than any governor in the country. This summer at Saratoga, they're going to have special sections. And if you've been vaccinated, you go into the vaccinated section, and they're going to allow 100% capacity. Because it's a racetrack, it's outdoors, you've been vaccinated. But, some of these people, I think, are getting a little carried away with, keeping the lid on things. And I don't know. I think everybody's tired of this. Everybody's ready for it to be open.
And yesterday, we'll go to a break, and yesterday Coach Dan McDonald said it right. Let's open this thing up,
absolutely.
Right? He absolutely said it right. So coming back out of the break, Mr. Issel, we will have Brooks Downing, former SID at Kentucky, who stepped out, started his own company, GD Global, and he's been very successful, good friend of ours. We're going to talk a little bit about sports in sports marketing with Brooks.
Great.
So we'll be back. This is Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, Louisville, Kentucky, ESPN 680-1057.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.